Please take your Bibles, returning to your seats. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 11 for a New Testament reading, and then we will find our way over in Genesis chapter 21 as we continue our reading through the life of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. The reading there begins at verse 11 through verse 16. Beloved, let us pray before we hear the word of God this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we draw near to you again through Jesus Christ. And Father, we look forward to that glorious day when we do not return to the things of this life and to this present age. Oh, gracious God, we draw near now, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless that which we have just given in our tithes and offerings, that you would be pleased to use it to call sinners to repentance in this time, in this place, with these gifts that you have simply given to us freely and that we have returned to you. Oh, Lord, call sinners to repentance to build up the Church of Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of her head, the King, Jesus Christ. Help us now, O Lord, we pray. Help us hear. Help us understand. Help us believe. Help us understand. Help us obey. O Lord, we pray that you would constrain and subdue us to recognize in the reading of your word the voice of our Master, to recognize the authority therein. And Lord, we pray that your word would dwell richly within us, that it would be the brightest light in the souls of your children, that it would be the path that we cannot stay off of, that it would be indeed the bread that we cannot stop eating. Oh Lord, grant these gifts to us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, to the praise of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 21. Reading there is verse 1 through 7. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. This is God's word. Beloved, one thing you must come to understand about God is how serious God is in bringing you into his joy. God wants his redeemed children to delight in the things he delights in. God does not leave you outside in the cold, outside of his joy, looking in at it. He calls you into it. He presses it upon you. He works it into you. On the night before he was crucified, our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." John 15:11. Jesus Christ was not cold or indifferent or neutral about accomplishing your salvation on the cross. It gave him joy. He wills for his joy to fill you. It says of our Lord Jesus in Isaiah 62:5, "As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." And speaking of Jesus, the prophet Micah says, "He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love." Micah 7:18. What is Jesus Christ delighting in when he delights in steadfast love? Well, that same scripture, Micah 7:18, tells us he delights in pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance. That means you can never disappoint Jesus by boasting in his death for your sin. He will never tell you to quiet down. He will never tell you to stop singing about that. He will never tell you to stop being so happy about that, because it is the very thing that made him happy, made him sing, made him loud with joy. The Lord delights in steadfast love. He delights to cancel our debts. He delights to forgive our sins. He delights to reverse the curse we were under because of sin. He delights to take those who were condemned and justify them. He delights to take those who were corrupt and sanctify them. He delights to take those who were dead and vivify them, make them alive. He delights to give those who have no hope of a glorious future a new future. He delights to take those who belong only to earth and make them citizens of heaven with him. He delights to take those with no purpose and no direction and no plan and put them to work for him in his kingdom to the praise of his name. Jesus delights in these, and he wants you to delight in these. He wants the furnace of your faith, beloved, to be burning hot with joy. In Philippians 1:25, Paul says Christian maturity is joy in the faith. Not knowing 500 Bible verses. Now, if you know 500 Bible verses, keep at it. But if you know 500 Bible verses and have no joy in your faith, you have not even begun the way of maturity. Christian maturity is joy in the faith, which means our faith in the God of our salvation is not a faith that can remain cold, empty, or silent. Our faith will grow warm with joy. It will fill up with joy. It will indeed become louder with joy. And I heard you singing this morning. Did you know that you were giving voice to your joy? Beloved, we will not always have the great joy in the Lord we ought to have. But whenever our faith in Christ grows, our joy in Christ will grow. And whenever our joy in Christ grows, our faith in Christ will grow. And this relationship between faith and joy is what our Old Testament text this morning is all about. Beginning in Genesis 21, the historical record on Abraham and Sarah makes a major shift. From this point forward, there is no more trickery. There is no more scheming from either of these old people. Abraham's deceptions, pretending Sarah is not his wife, that is over. Sarah's pushing her maid Hagar to be a concubine, that is over. From this point forward, Abraham and Sarah enter a mature season of faith, which continues until their death. It is God who has brought them to this mature faith through promise and through trial. But the trials have not ended. In fact, they have not yet peaked. In the next chapter, 22, we will hear the historical account of Abraham taking his son Isaac on top of Mount Moriah and raising a blade over his son's body. The trials have not even peaked yet. But from now on, we will see Abraham and Sarah enter great trials with mature faith. This does not mean they are now perfect. This does not mean they didn't have real faith earlier. But from now on, they have mature faith. And what did Paul say about mature faith? See, look at, I'm already sneaking in a catechism question from the sermon. Maturity is joy in the faith. And where did Paul say it? Philippians 1:25. Well, this is exactly what happens with Abraham and Sarah. Their faith comes to maturity at the same time their joy overflows. In fact, their faith comes to maturity because their joy overflows. God did this to them. He is doing it to you, believer. He will do it. He is on the job. When the long-promised son, Isaac, the son who could only exist by the power of God, when he is finally born to them, it is then that joy and mature faith take control of these two old saints. From that point forward, they will always have laughter in their life, because that is the meaning of their son's name, Yitzhak in the Hebrew, Isaac in the English. It means laughter. Abraham and Sarah will go to their graves, and their laughter will live on after them. And that laughter will echo down through the ages until it settles everlastingly upon a greater offspring of Abraham, a greater son, a son of divine promise, a son of divine power, who himself could not exist for us apart from the power of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. By giving the church Isaac, God was prophesying that he would be giving the church an even greater son of laughter, Jesus Christ, the son of our everlasting laughter, the joy of our salvation. But I want to go back to Isaac before I go forward more with that. Back to Isaac for a minute so we can be very careful about his Isaacness. It was not Abraham who chose the name Isaac. It was not Abraham who thought, oh, this baby is making me laugh. I think I'll call him Laughter. Verse 3 of our text says, Abraham called the name of his son Isaac, but he did so only because the Lord told him to do so. We find this back in Genesis 17:19, right after the Lord rejected Ishmael as being the one through whom the world would be redeemed, the Lord said, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. It is God who wants to bring laughter into the world. It is God's will that there be this son of laughter, or by another name, this son of joy, or by another name, this son of rejoicing, or by another name, this son of delight, this son of jubilation. This is God's idea. We are not meant to see this laughter as Abraham's own interpretation of his experience, as if it were just a private and personal thing to Abraham and Sarah. We are to see this son of laughter as God's doing, as God's work, and as God's interpretation of his work. Notice how God is the main subject of our whole passage. Verse 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. God miraculously healed the barren womb of a 90-year-old post-menopausal woman, and she conceived a child by her 100-year-old husband. You know, I thought about starting to name off couples that you know from this congregation and announce to you that they are pregnant. Gordon and Judy, John and Sue, Carl and Eileen, I heard you laughing. That is just a sliver of the laughter that filled the bosom of a couple named Abraham and Sarah. 190. God did this. In verse 6, Sarah then makes the good confession, a God-centered confession. She's bubbling over to make this confession. She says, God has made laughter for me. And now she's not referring directly to the baby. She's referring to the pleasure of God to share his joy with his daughter. The zeal of God to share his joy with his daughter. This means Sarah is an heir of God, because he gives her that which is his own. The eternal joy of a redeemer, God. So the Lord visited, verse 1. The Lord did, verse 1. The Lord made, verse 6. It is God who puts his own laughter on the earth in giving this boy, because there is laughter in God in heaven. For the Lord delights in his own grace, and he means for his church to delight in his grace with him. God wants his church to know, in fact, he wants the nations to know, that he has great joy in promising and performing by his own power that which is impossible for man to do himself. God delights to do for us what we cannot do. In fact, this is what his word is always about. And this is why Moses is so careful under the care of the Spirit to keep saying, God did this, but according to his word. God did this, but according to his promise. The word of God is always summoning the people of God away from their confidence in human abilities and human scheming and human tricks to achieve what they think the blessing of God must look like. The word is always summoning us away from that to stand before God with nothing but what God will do. The Lord delights. It brings him great joy in promising and in performing by his own power that which is impossible for man to do for himself. Now, beloved, the Lord wants us to know that. That's what the last 10 chapters of Abraham and Sarah's lives have all been about. The Lord wants his church to learn that it is his delight and pleasure and glory to not take human achievement and human ability and human addition in the performance of our salvation and our sanctification. He wants us to know that he delights in this. He wants us to believe it. He wants us to live and breathe it. And he wants us to know that all the wonderful things he has done for us is through a son. Is through a son. Is through a son. The birth of Isaac is a historic echo that comes from its even louder and later source, the birth of Christ. God brings his laughter to us, but not apart from a son, but through a son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never think that you are finding the joy of God if you are finding it apart from his son, Jesus Christ. But here's another thing we must not miss. In bringing us into his delight, into his joy, into his godly laughter, God must show us where we would be without his grace and what we would be without his grace. This is why the Lord keeps reminding these two old people, these two old saints, Abraham and Sarah, he keeps reminding them how old they are and how dead their bodies are to the task of childbearing. They were so old, their birthday cards had to be delivered by a dinosaur. You know, where could I preach that? Except in this sermon, right? And they were so dead in their ability to bear children, everyone had stopped saying hopeful things to them about children. That's what verse 7 is about. Nobody ever encourages Abraham anymore by saying, oh, don't you worry. Sarah's going to nurse someday. All of that has grown silent. At some point in the last 25 years, between Abraham's call out of Ur, Genesis 12, and chapter 21, the birth of Isaac, in that 25-year span, the voices have become silent who say, don't you worry. The Lord will do it. Well, the Lord did do it. It is the Lord who purposefully silenced every one of those voices to make the deadness of their situation weighty, to testify to his delight, to bring life to the dead, to call things into existence that do not exist. Notice how our readings confirm this. Notice they emphasize the aging and the deadness of these two. Verse 2 reminds us that Abraham is in his old age. Verse 5 reminds us Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. In verse 7, it is Sarah herself who reminds us, saying, I have borne him a son in his old age. But we should not forget what the Lord said about Sarah. Way back in Genesis 11, verse 30, now Sarah was barren. She had no child. And what did we hear about Sarah in Hebrews 11, verse 11? By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. And in the very next verse there, Hebrews 11, 12, it says, Abraham was good as dead. You see how the Holy Spirit has gone out of his way to testify to the impossibility of ordinary generation of a child here. This is the Lord's design to make it clear to all that he has brought this couple into the destitution of death as it concerns childbearing. The Spirit emphasizes this because God has a great and personal interest to demonstrate the inability of man to those whom he loves and is calling. The Lord's purpose was to grow the faith and ripen the joy of Abraham and Sarah. But to do that, he made sure they were massively disappointed with human ability to produce the blessedness of God. Beloved, are you disappointed enough yet? Are you disappointed enough with human ability to produce the blessedness of God? Or are you still in the Hagar phase of your faith? The journey down and Gerar phase of your faith? When the Lord God takes you as one of his little sheep and regards you as his very own possession in Jesus Christ and stands over you and beside you as your shepherd, it is his design to disappoint you with human ability to bring about the blessedness of God. Because he will be your God alone. He will be jealous to be alone, your God. And so he shepherds you into these circumstances where you keep being purged. You keep being debarked. You keep being put into trials so that you become increasingly disappointed with the ability of men to deliver to you the blessedness of God. This is how the Lord raises up a true and saving faith to maturity in us so that we share more and more in the joy of the God who cares and serves and gives the impossible. You cannot save your children. You cannot save your spouse. You cannot convert your relatives. You cannot defeat in your own flesh, in your own wits, in your own habits, that sin that so easily keeps entangling you. Beloved, your Father in heaven, in his shepherding love, designs to bring you to wit's end. And there's Mr. Whitaker saying, seek not the blessedness of God in the exertion of human ability. And you know you are growing in your faith when you are praying more and seeking God to do and seeking God to will and seeking God to give. And you are waiting more and not reaching for tricks and schemes, not hastening things because you want the blessing of God now and you want it your way. Your pastor God is pastoring you to become massively disappointed. And he will let it take 25 years if it must. He wants you massively disappointed with man's ability to produce the blessings of God. So God waited until it became clear to Abraham and Sarah that all human ability to bring about God's promise was dead. 25 years pass. The Lord makes us wait too, because often what we want God to do for us, what we write on the blanks when we say, this is the blessing I want God to give me, it is not the blessing God designs to give us. Do we want what God wants for us? If not, God will see to it that we become thoroughly disappointed with all our own efforts to achieve what we want. He loves us that much. Even when we want what God wants, God will not let us have it by the pride of human effort. What do you want, beloved? Do you want what Christ can give to you? Or do you want what men can give to you? Do you want Christ to be born in you? Do you want to be born in Christ? Do you want Christ to be formed in you? Do you want to be conformed to Christ? He will give that to you. But if you want simply something men can give, and you want God to muscle them to give it to you, He hasn't disappointed you enough yet. But if you want what only heaven can give, you are on the threshold of the Lord's wonderful joy. He will give you Christ. He will form Christ in you, if that is what you want. I want to press this observation a step further. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, we, the Church of Jesus Christ, discover that in this boy called laughter, we all find ourselves before God as Christians. Galatians 4:28, now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. He's talking to all of us believers. You, like Isaac, you, like the son of laughter, are children of promise. What is this thing called the children or a child of promise? Whatever it is, it is something that is full of joy, something that needs to be associated with a boy whose name is laughter. What is it to be a child of promise? Well, we find out what this is with greater help in Romans chapter 9, where we read these words in verse 7. Not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Now we have made a great advance. The children of promise are contrasted with the children of the flesh. The children of the flesh may have a genealogical descent from Abraham, but they don't truly share Abraham's faith. They aren't truly united to Abraham's God. They are not truly children of heaven, though they are children of Abraham's loins by ordinary generation. The children of promise are those who have come alive to God in the very same way Isaac came alive to God. The children of promise are those who have come alive by the promise and performance by divine power of taking someone who is not in existence and calling them into existence. But understand that existence here refers to being born unto God, not simply being born unto a woman on the earth. The children of promise are those who have been called by the Spirit of God out of death and have been brought out of death by the power of God in the same manner in which Isaac was brought out of death, a dead womb, a womb that could not conceive from a dead Abraham who could not create life with his body. Isaac is brought forth. In simpler language, beloved, the children of promise are all Christians who have been truly born again, born by the will and by the power of God. The children of flesh are those who are simply going through the motions and looking at their human effort and looking at their human abilities and trusting in their human effort and in their human abilities to satisfy God. They are trying to leverage God with their works, leverage God with their parentage, leverage God with their family tree, leverage God with some credential that they have earned or achieved. They are children of flesh. They are religionists without God. But the children of promise are those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, according to the will and power of God. They did not bring themselves into this life with God. They did not bring themselves into this faith in Christ. They did not bring themselves into this state of grace. They were called into it by a supernatural power. They were born of the Spirit. But Paul says in Galatians 4:28 that all of this means that we are like Isaac, children of promise. And this is a cause of great joy. Beloved, we who grasp the sovereign power of God to make us children of God, that we did not help him, that we did not nudge him, that we did not partner with him, that we ourselves were brought from death to life by his free will and power, not by any contribution of our own, this makes you laugh that it has been done to you. This makes you laugh like perhaps a boy who was made out of wood and then suddenly could talk would laugh. It is almost ridiculous, but it strips away necessarily all the glory and honor that men attribute to themselves, especially in the vocation of religion. Why does the Lord lay down this 25 years of massive disappointment and faith building on Abraham and Sarah? So that the church down through the ages would not be deceived and think that we were waiting on ourselves to achieve the blessedness of God, the blessedness of his salvation, the blessedness of his presence, the blessedness of his forgiveness, the blessedness of his love. Be not deceived. Look at Isaac. He is the archetype for how we have all become children of promise, children of God. We have been brought into existence by the mere power and word of God and united to Jesus Christ. When we were not even seeking to be so united. And now we are alive and alert and laughing. Years ago, Mrs. Hartley and I would listen to quite a bit of Christian musicians like Keith Green, Steve Green, Michael Card. Well, Michael Card wrote one of the great songs about our text. And I think it's a fitting conclusion to press upon you perhaps one more way today how much of a wonder it is that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought into life where there was no life. And that is what brings the church to everlasting joy. He has done this, beloved, through his Son, Jesus Christ. There is no life, there is no everlasting joy apart from a Son. The divine Son is the fulfillment of all these earlier promised sons. And when you have him, you have the joy that cannot be taken away. They called him Laughter by Michael Card. A barren land and a barren wife made Abraham laugh at his wandering life. A cruel joke it seemed then to call him the father of nations. A heavenly prank, a celestial joke, caused gray hair and babies leave no room for hope. But hoping was something this hopeless old man learned to do. They called him Laughter. For he came after. The Father had made an impossible promise come true. The birth of a baby to a hopeless old lady. So they called him Laughter because no other name would do. One more stanza. A cry in the darkness and laughter at night. An elderly couple sit holding him tight. An improbable infant, a punchline, a promise come true. They laughed till they wept, then they laughed at their tears. This miracle baby they'd wanted for years would make a Messiah who'd give us impossible joy. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, Father, if there are any among us who have not yet become disappointed with their sin, with their works, with their power, who have not yet become disappointed with their progeny as sons and daughters of Adam, who have not yet become disappointed with their lust for the things that human ability can supply them. If there are any such, O Lord, we pray that it would please you to take them under your wing and shepherd them into the great disappointment necessary for them to be summoned to the glory of Jesus Christ, who alone is life, who alone forgives sins, who alone opens forever the world to come to us, who alone stands on the other side of death, welcoming all whom he loves with open arms, who alone brings judgment upon all who reject him. O Lord, shepherd them, we pray, according to your purpose and will. Shepherd them to the great disappointment that might lead to their conversion. And Father, for all of us who have, by your power, according to your promise, who have become children of promise, who have made a beginning in the way of faith, oh, Father, we pray that you would subdue us and quiet us and wean us like a child on its mother, so that we would, Lord, not be restless as you perfectly grow our faith into maturity. Lord, we thank you that you have so clearly testified to us today that everything you are doing in growing our faith is simply bringing us deeper and deeper into what has always been yours, the great joy and delight in steadfast love. Oh, Father, we pray that you would help us not scheme, not take up tricks, not try to hasten the blessings of God or define them. You have given definition to them. To come to Christ is the blessing of God. To be conformed to the image of Christ is the blessing of God. To suffer in this age with Christ is the blessing of God. To indeed obtain to the glory in the age to come is the blessing of God in Christ. Oh Lord, if we want more than that and mark it as the blessing of God, chasten us, disappoint us, grow our faith, we pray. And oh Lord, strengthen our faith unto joy in Jesus Christ, the true everlasting Son of promise. In his name, amen.